relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
I think it hasn't dropped yet. We are waiting. The president's farewell speech is about to be released. You heard the first ladies earlier. As soon as we have it, we will play you an excerpt. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. What a day! Opening the show with the great Dennis Prager, followed by Victor Davis Hanson, and now none other than Lord Conrad Black, author of A President Like No Other, Donald J. Trump, and many, many others. I have in front of me his latest piece for American greatness, How Trump Could Make a Compassionate Exit. But first, let's discuss what we were talking about in the break for those who don't get to listen in on YouTube. Lord Black, you said something that I have just finished writing a piece on that isn't out yet. And I believe that let's just call it what it is. The sham second impeachment on the 15th is a big mistake and could make Trump's return to politics far more rapid than would otherwise be the case. Your response?
Yeah, first of all, it is an honor to follow Prager and my good friend Victor Hanson. So I'm flattered to be in their company.
Quite a day.
And in yours. Look, this has got to be the most contemptible and fatuous legislative initiative in the entire history of the country. All you have to do is listen to Trump's remarks. He was angry, and of course the people who took the trouble to come from all around the country in hundreds of thousands to be there were angry too, or they wouldn't have bothered coming. And they had plenty to do. I mean, it goes back to the Russian collusion fraud and the phony Ukraine impeachment and dubious changes in election rules in certain swing states, the refusal of the Supreme Court to hear and give a decision on the election, the 95% wall-to-wall media hostility of the national political media, the totalitarian conduct of the big tech czars, throwing the president of the United States off Twitter and silencing his supporters, all of that creates a considerable amount of annoyance and some doubt about true election result. And in those circumstances, the president was maintaining the morale of his followers, but distinctly told them to act peacefully and patriotically. He did not incite violence. And the idea that he did is simply an outright defamatory falsehood. And the notion that he was trying to incite an insurrection, which is, you and your listeners would know, is the violent overthrow of the government, is as preposterous as my accusing you at this moment of plotting a coup d'etat to remove the entire senior administration and replace it with the population of Washington's insane asylums. I mean, it is simply absurd. And then the concept of a trial for removal from office of a person who weeks after or months after the constitutional expiry of his term in an orderly manner departed that office, this is beyond Red Queen territory. This is a psychiatric job and really requires some sort of analysis of the psychotic aspects of it, and it's simply insane and won't go anywhere. I mean,
this is what I have to ask you as somebody who has suffered at the hands of overzealous prosecutors, been persecuted judicially, and come to live through it and to tell the tale. Do you have an expectation that this has stopped, or is it possible? Because Biden has been absent. He has made no comment in this regard. Could it possibly be that after he leaves the White House tomorrow, that they will try to prosecute him in the highest court here, or the highest the Senate of the United States?
Look, I think you have to say it's a possibility, because on the theory that if they could get a conviction, it would, I believe, bar Trump from running for public office again. That would be the only point of it. But and it must be said that some of the never Trump people who dress themselves up in camouflage outfits and hid their political faces for the last few years in the Senate have now been courageously coming out of the closet or out of the forest or wherever they inhabited, up to a point, including the Republican leader, Mitch McConnell, and have given some encouragement to the Democrats to think there would be Republican senators voting for removal of the departed president. I mean, we know Romney would. He's done it already. You can assume that Murkowski would and a few of the others. But that more than 17 Republicans would actually vote to convict the president on something of which there is no evidence and which was not done anyway. There was no call for an insurrection, but there's no evidence that Trump encouraged any violence. I mean, people can interpret other people's words as they wish, but if you look at them and read them and analyze the clear, simple meaning of English, he urged them to demonstrate peacefully. And that is not an incitement to insurrection. So the chances, in my opinion, of getting a conviction are zero. And the Democrats will assumedly realize that. And so I think, no, it will not be proceeded with. And I think what you'll get, I mean, what do I know? I don't know anything. But since you've asked me, very generous of you to ask, but flattering that you would ask. But I think that Biden has already signaled that he doesn't consider this to be a high priority. And he said that's a congressional matter, not mine. A very judicious answer, in fairness to him. I think once he's there, I think he will say, look, this isn't going to fly, so let's get serious and quietly let it go. And it will fade under the guise of being deferred to allow the new president to put his program to the Congress. And then by the time the famous 100 days are over, it'll be a non-issue. It's hard to keep anything alive as an issue nowadays for more than 10 days anyway. And there's no way they're keeping that turkey alive in people's minds for 3 months. And I think it just goes away. If the Democratic leaders actually bring that forward, they are, I mean, they aren't more malicious than I thought, because I have no illusions at that point, but they're stupider than I thought.
Well, let's talk about the future of this man who's exiting the People's House tomorrow. This is from your latest piece at amgreatness.com. Donald Trump is the first GOP leader to have a large personal following since Reagan. On his performance, he was the best president since Reagan. Nobody should imagine that he could not make the greatest comeback since Nixon, if not Lazarus. He has shaken the country before, and he is not finished. That sounds as if Donald Trump will be back in politics, in your estimation.
I think there's a good chance of it. Because, first of all, it is the pattern, as you know, for ex-presidents to be popular.
Yes.
If they just stay out of the limelight, they become quite quickly revered figures. I think I mentioned once before that I remember attending a baseball game with my father in Cleveland in 1956 when the presence of former president Herbert Hoover, 23 years before he left the White House, was announced. Now, he was a man who was very unpopular in the midst of the Great Depression when he left as president, and he got a huge standing ovation for several minutes. I'm not saying that would happen with Trump, but what happens is, as time goes by, the person in question was the president and held the dignity of that great office, and the negatives fade away. It's just he was the president, and he deserves respect as a former. And I used to go to dinner occasionally with Mr. Nixon, who could not have left the White House in more circumstances. But it was clear how admired he was by people just in general. He was a great figure, and he was a twice-chosen president and twice-chosen vice president. So Trump will benefit from that if he gives it a bit of silence. And I think this administration, I wish it well. I wish any incoming administration in the United States well. I actually hope I am mistaken in what I'm about to say, but to judge by their program, to judge by what Mr. Biden said the other day with his economic relief bill, to judge by some of the personalities he's putting forward in key positions, and just to judge him as we've known him all these years, I think this administration is going to be a disaster. Yeah. And I think it will be clearly seen to be a disaster. Right. And I don't think Trump has to do anything except sit there and wait for people to come back to him and say, look here, you're the leading figure in the Republican Party. Let's start thinking about the next election.
Just wait and pick up the pieces. We're talking to Lord Conrad Black. Follow him on Twitter, Conrad M. Black, author of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Champion on Freedom, and Richard M. Nixon, A Life in Full, and of course, a president like no other, Donald J. Trump. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Don't touch that dial.
What I want for my people, I just want patience and peace that we can get to the U.S. because they're having a new president. Where's Biden? He's going to help all of us. He's given us 100 days to get to the U.S. and give us legal mental paper so we can get a better life for our kids and family.
Honduran migrants being interviewed by CNN saying, Biden's going to help all of us. How much will the world change at 12 o'clock tomorrow? These are the questions we are trying to get answers to today here on America First. Not just Dennis Prager, Victor Davis Hanson, but also Lord Conrad Black right now and still in this hour to come, Congressman Jim Jordan. Lord Black, will there be a sudden sea change? As a historian of prior presidents, do you expect a turning on a dime when it comes to geopolitical relations when we have the new commander-in-chief sworn in?
I would hope not, and I would think probably not. In fairness to Mr. Biden, historically, he was to the right of Obama. He was more like Clinton or the old Hubert Humphrey Walter Mondale Democrats than like George McGovern or Obama. I don't know a thing about it, but I doubt that he will try and resurrect the Obama initiative with Iran. I think he'll probably try and get the agreement back together again, but not with a lot of concessions to Iran. And I have my doubts about how successful he would be in trying to get an agreement with Iran without making a lot of concessions. So I would be a little more optimistic about that. On China, I think he has got to be doubly careful given the controversy of his family's financial relationships there. And I think, again, he will protect himself from the charge of being in the pocket of China, which is an accusation that's been made. So I, I'm unfortunately, I think he's like a lot of legislators. He loves to talk, and he thinks talk is often a substitute for action. And he's relatively good, it must be said, at some schmoozing with people, and that's what he's done all his life, and he's been good at it. And I'm not disparaging that. I mean, somebody's got to do it. He is good at it, but it's no substitute for staking out where America's legitimate security interests are, including those of its principal allies that it's prepared to stand with, and sticking to that. But I would say that in these things, Obama, having got into politics a long time before Obama did, Biden having got in a long time before Obama did, that he will be more like that older school, that old sort of Humphrey school or the Clintons, and be not as resolute and more collegial than Trump, but not a swift convert to the virtues of appeasing China or Iran. Maybe I'm being hopeful, but that's what I think.
And the future on the other side of the aisle of conservative politics, I agree with you that the president can have a role far more rapidly than otherwise would have been the case prior to the second sham impeachment. But the effect, is the GOP, in your view, a MAGA party today, or will it bounce back to trying to do things in the way of the old Republican establishment?
I think the majority are Trumpers. They're not absolute blank check Trumpers who approve of everything he does or all the postures he takes. But I think the party professionals, the rank and file, the cadres of the party, and the elected officials of it at all levels, recognize that Trump had the secret to moving from a natural minority party, though a large minority, to a natural majority by encroaching upon the traditional fiefdoms of the Democrats amongst African American and Latin American voters and the working class, the old Roosevelt Truman working class, what's left of it, encroaching upon that and doing it with capitalist values, doing it with enterprise zones and lower taxes on small businesses and all individuals, thus uniting traditional Republican fiscal values and tax policy, the old Reagan tax cut and so on, with a direct appeal and a very plausible appeal to disgruntled or at least susceptible sections of the old Democratic coalition. And I think that all the serious Republicans recognized that that was a winning formula, even if they would maybe want to pitch it a little differently. So they may not buy into the whole MAGA thing. They may think that's a bit strident. But as to where they're positioned in what the Republican Party does in its pitch to the voters of the United States, the majority is with Trump, and he has, by I suspect, a power of 10, a greater personal following than any other Republican.
Yes, no, clearly.
Including former President Bush, who is obviously not an active candidate anymore. And so I think the next, I think their chances are excellent in the midterm elections, because the out-of-office party almost always does well in the midterms. The last time you had a real victory for the incumbents in a midterm election was Roosevelt in 1934, and that was a long time ago, and he was a great president. I mean, Joe Biden isn't going to remind us. He can talk about the 100 days all he wants. He's not going to remind us of FDR. If Trump plays it carefully and has a reconciliation where appropriate with some of the some of the people that were really quite negative about him when he came in but rallied to him, like a Lindsey Graham, who waffled a bit over the January 6th business but is back on side with the president. but we don't know where McConnell is, but I've never seen any evidence that McConnell's opinions reflect on what the public thinks at all.
No.
I mean, he's the ultimate insider in the Capitol, but that's where he is. If Trump plays it a little carefully, I would say that it's his decision to make whether he wants to be nominated again, and I suspect he will have a very vulnerable Democratic administration to run against in 4 years. But I assume, like you, it won't be Mr. Biden's leading it. But whoever it is, they'll have to answer for what this incoming administration does in the next 4 years. And if it's a successful government, I'll be relieved, I'll be delighted, but I will be astonished.
You will not be alone. We have been talking to Victor Davis Hanson. We are watching the convoy leave Andrews Air Force Base, Vice President, President-elect Biden and his family are in D.C. They have arrived for the inauguration and are being driven off base as we speak. We've been talking to, as we do every week, Lord Victor Davis Hanson, Lord Conrad Black. Follow him at Conrad M. Black, and also check out his books, including the latest, A President Like No Other, Donald J. Trump. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Before we go to Congressman Jim Jordan, we have a full call board. We will be taking some of your calls. The number is 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. Here on the Salem Radio Network from the ReliefFactor.com studios. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001, and the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
Vote Democrat. Don't be so bloody daft, man. I'd rather be dragged stark naked through a field of broken glass.
A wise choice if those are your binary options. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Herman Cain, you know who he was, a great American, a patriot, the CEO of Godfather's Pizza, a man of classic American values, a man who understood personal responsibility, hard work, and a good education. Now there's a film where you can celebrate not just that man's life, but also the values that he embodied. It's one of the most inspirational films that you will be able to find today. Watch it at salemnow.com. It's the Herman Cain story, Poor to CEO, and use my name to get 20% off. That's Poor to CEO, the Herman Cain story. Just go tonight to salemnow.com. Okay. We haven't taken any calls because we've had back-to-back amazing guests. Let's go to Bill in Los Angeles, line 3. Welcome, Bill.
Hi, Dr. Gorka.
Hey.
Hey, does Biden's $15 an hour minimum wage apply to radio show callers?
I think it must. I think it's 30 for radio show callers. It must be 30, right? Because you have to wait so long to get on the show that it has to be double. So you're in favor.
Oh, thank you. I think Trump is correct to boycott Big Brother's inauguration because he's on record, Biden is on record, colluding with Obama and Susan Rice to sabotage Donald Trump's administration.
So, but why should he? Yeah, so what about the vice president, Bill?
You mean Kama Sutra Harris?
Behave, man. No, that Pence is going to go there. Your reaction?
I got to tell you, he should not do it.
Right. Yep. It's what will destroy his career. I can't see, unless you're a rhino, unless you're a Mitt Romney voter, who's going to vote for Mike Pence if he ever runs again, Bill?
No one. No one that we like.
No one that we like. I like your sense of humor. Stay on the line, Bill. We have to give this man a signed copy of The War for America's Soul. He's got a saucy sense of humor, even if we can't give him $30 an hour for calling the show, but we can give him a signed copy of The War for America's Soul. If you want your copy, you know where to go. You got two options. You can go to our website. You got to bookmark our website, sebgorka.com, or go to our brand new store, sebgorkastore.com, and check out all of the goodies. Let's go. Who else has been waiting a long time? Let's go to Marnie, really important, New York, line two. Welcome, Marnie.
Hey, Seb, I've been listening to you for longer than I'm going to admit, because I'm a big John Batchelor fan.
Oh, well, God bless you. Isn't John the best?
The best, the very best. Listen, we have to blow up the Bed Bath & Beyond the same way we managed to support Goya Foods. They have boycotted
so
Mike
Lindell. I'm so excited you mentioned this. It's on my list
and
here.
This is here.
Let me just tell everybody who doesn't know Marnie. So Bed Bath & Beyond and Kohl's are boycotting our friend Mike Lindell's products. And I tweeted out earlier this morning, if you're a patriot, if you love this country as much as like Mike Lindell, well, let's just not shop. I mean, I'm not a big boycott person, but this is an outrage. So no more Bed Bath & Beyond, no more Kohl's if you're a patriot. And you agree, right,
now,
Marnie?
I have an anecdote for this, too. I mean, I have a story to tell with this.
Yes.
I went to call the company today. And where do I get
transferred? Which company? Which company?
Bed Bath & Beyond.
Okay.
To voice my complaint. I call the customer service line, and I get transferred to the Philippines, where I get somebody who can barely speak English. I mean, that was salt on wounds. Mike has made a point of manufacturing in the United States. This company offshores their jobs, and what they're doing is... It's illegal. It's against the Constitution to boycott somebody because of their belief structure. It's everything wrong. So here's the information. So let's do this, because like, you know, many of us are saying, we have to be active now. We can't be just sitting back and whining about everything. The woman who's head of investor relations is Janet M. Barth, B-A-R-T-H. Her phone number is 908-613-5820. Or you can email IR, which stands for Investor Relations, at bedbath.com. No beyond. It's just bedbath.com.
IR at Bed Bath and Beyond. Why don't we tell them what we think of them removing Mike Lindell's products from their shelves, and then you having to talk to the Philippines? Yeah, that's who they are. God bless you. Thank you, Marnie. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First.
Knee deep in the swamp. First place in your hearts. America First with Dr. G.
It's incredible. It's not only the retired general who Biden wants to make Secretary of Defense who says he has to root out white supremacists and racists from the U.S. military. Mr. G just found an interview with Stanley McChrystal, former ISAF commander, talking about white privilege in our armed forces. We'll play it for you. It's truly mind-boggling. But first, we have to go to our very special guest. What a day it's been. Dennis Prager, Victor Davis Hanson, Lord Conrad Black, and now Jim Jordan, proudly representing the 4th District for Ohio in Congressman Jordan. Welcome back to America First.
You bet. Good to be with you, Sebastian.
I went to Berlin soon after the wall fell. I lived in a post-communist nation for 15 years. I saw what it did to the souls of the inhabitants, the citizens of that nation. What does it feel like you to be here preparing for a presidential inauguration to see D.C. as it is today?
Yeah, it's. I mean, first of all, your utmost respect to our soldiers and our law enforcement. We appreciate what they do, but yes. This is. You never thought we'd see our nation's capital like this. I mean, there's razor wire. There's petitions and fencing and just the presence that you just never thought you'd see in the greatest country ever and the freest country ever. So like you, Sebastian, I've traveled. I competed in the Soviet Union. I've been to Cuba twice. I tell folks, just like you, you go to places like that, you thank the good Lord you live here. And, I remember in Cuba, I was there in 1988, 1990. They were driving in 88 when I was there, they were driving 59 Chevys. In 1990 when I was there, they were driving 59 Chevys. And my guess is in 2021, they're driving 59 Chevys in Cuba. So that's what happens when you don't have when you don't respect the First Amendment and respect liberty and freedom.
Is this going to stay? Do you expect as a congressman to have to be going? I mean, we've heard all kinds of things, and please tell me if any of this is incorrect, that you are now even if you've had the coronavirus, Nancy Pelosi says you have to wear a mask on the floor of Congress. We're hearing that she wants to put metal detectors at the entrances to the actual chamber, and now we've seen Delta devices, razor wire. Is this the new normal for Washington, D.C.?
Boy, I hope not. I really hope not. Look, what happened 2 weeks ago was tragic, was terrible, was wrong. But I hope this is not how things are in the people's house. I mean, remember, the Capitol doesn't belong to the politicians. It belongs to the American people. And if you're not going to let them in to talk to and lobby and try to persuade their members, even in their office buildings in the future. I hope it gets back to normal where the people of this great country can come talk to the person they elected to go represent them. That's how it's supposed to work, and I sure hope we get back to that just as soon as possible.
Let me share, if you'll indulge me, when I lived in Hungary, former communist country, and I had business in the parliament, it's a beautiful parliament building on the Danube, you had to have your name, you had to have your ID number given down. You couldn't, I mean, in the Congress, you can walk in whenever you want. You can, you have to go through the magnetometers, but because it's the people's house, anybody could go in. Mm-hmm. That has all changed. Tell us your expectations in the coming weeks. Is the outrageous 8-hour sham impeachment finished? Is it over? Or do you think your Democrat colleagues really want to prosecute a man after he leaves the White House tomorrow in the Senate?
Well, no, I think they do. And it's wrong. It's not what the American people want to see. But this has been an obsession with the Democrats. I said the other day, they tried to remove President Trump from office before he got here. Now they're trying to remove him after he's left. And that's exactly what they're doing, because it started with the July 31st, 2016, when they opened the investigation, the whole crazy Russia investigation, and it continued right through up inauguration day, 19 minutes after President Trump on January 20, 2017, took the oath of office. 19 minutes after that, 12:19 p.m., the Washington Post has a headline, "Campaign to Impeach President Trump Has Begun." So they couldn't even wait 20 minutes. They started at 19 minutes into his new administration, and now it's going to continue for a second time, even after he's left. So, I hope it's a quick trial, and I'm convinced there's not going to be a conviction of the president, because he didn't do anything. He didn't incite a riot. There's just no way. I mean, Sebastian, there were Democrat members of Congress who last summer, in the midst of the turmoil in our cities around the country, a Democrat member of Congress said, "We need more unrest in the streets."
Yeah.
While there was unrest in the streets. Now think about that. And now they're saying the president somehow incited the violence 2 weeks ago when he said, "Peacefully and patriotically, make your voices heard." This makes absolute no sense, and the timing makes no sense. I hope it is a quick trial, and the president is then there's no conviction. And the president can get ready to run again in 2024.
Yeah, you have that expectation, Congressman Jordan?
I do. I think he is by far, in a way, the front runner. I think he has done more of what he said he would do than certainly any president in our lifetime, Sebastian, and has made an amazing difference for the country. And I hope he runs again. But, that'll obviously be up to the president.
You have been fighting so strenuously, and we are so grateful to everything you and your Freedom Caucus colleagues have done on Capitol Hill. Let me ask you the big picture question, the last minute we have with Congressman Jim Jordan. Follow him right now at Jim_Jordan on Twitter. Also, Jordan.House.gov, ranking member on the Judiciary Committee. Congressman, have we succeeded Is the GOP now a MAGA party? Is it about America first?
Oh, totally. 100%. What the president did, he turned our party, and I know we've talked about this on your show here, Sebastian. We went from the I forget who said this, but someone thought that was a great line. We're no longer the wine and cheese Republicans, with the beer and blue jeans Republicans. President Trump has fought for middle class, working class people, and he's done more of what he said he would do, which I think is the goal of this job. When you're a member of Congress or you're the president or vice president, that's the goal. He's done it better than anyone, and that's what the American people appreciate, that he's fighting for them.
30 seconds. What do you say to those of the people of Ohio and all Americans who have lost faith and are despairing?
Our country has been through difficult times before, and we've always risen to the occasion. And I tell folks, remember this, 1903, two guys from Ohio fly 100 feet, a little over 100 feet in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. 66 years later, another great American steps on the moon. In one lifetime, 66 years, our country did that. Don't ever underestimate what we can overcome and what we can do.
From Kitty Hawk to the moon, what a fabulous, fabulous message. God bless you. Follow this man, Jim_Jordan. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting across the nation to millions of listeners and also YouTube live stream. We've just broke 29 million views. Subscribe today. We are coming from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor. If you are suffering from daily pain and just cannot find relief, you must try this incredible product. Just listen to Yvonne from California. Both are in our 70s and are so grateful to have found Relief Factor. We tried so many other solutions, but none of them have given us the freedom of being pain-free like Relief Factor. Wouldn't you like to be able to say that? Don't you deserve to find out? Of course you do. Do it now. Call 800-500-8384. Order the 3-week quick starter pack. It'll be at your house in 3 days or less. Take it for those 3 weeks, morning and evening, just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you'll know if it works for you like it works for me, Yvonne, and thousands of your fellow Americans. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Call 800-500-8384. You know it makes sense. Don't wait any longer. ReliefFactor.com.
America First.
Can you believe it? They are saying that they don't agree with America First. How do you say that?
Magnificent.
How do you say that? You can't say that. It's craziness, not agreeing with America First. Wow, what a day. Dennis Prager, VDH, Conrad Black, Congresswoman Lauren Boebert, and Ben Domenech. But the most important guest, my boss. Not the president. Katie Gorka will be with us to talk about the amazing White House document published yesterday, the 1776 report. But before that, let's go to your calls. Let's go to Brian in Florida, line 2. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you. I wanted to ask you a question. What do you think about...
Hello?
What do you think about President Trump basically turning our country to China, knowing Sleepy Joe is connected to China when he said he's going to fight for the country? Do you think that's just a ploy to make these guys feel comfortable? Or what do you think? Because I think he's making them feel comfortable than using the military for martial law.
No, it's not happening. I mean, you do know, Brian, he just issued his farewell speech, right? Literally,
yeah,
30 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Okay, so you think he's lying to everybody in America and the world?
I don't know. I don't know if he's lying, but I don't know if he's just making them feel comfortable. I don't know.
I tell you now, right now, right now, tomorrow at 12 o'clock, Joe Biden will be president. Are you clear? Can I be more clear than that?
Oh, no. I agree with you, but I didn't
then
know.
I don't understand what you're asking, Brian.
Well, I didn't know if he's using the military.
No, he will not. He will not destroy America because the Democrats stole the election. No, he's not going to do that. It's like the soldier who allegedly said in Vietnam, you've got to burn down the village to save it. We're not going to do that, Brian, because we're not fascists or communists.
No. I know that. I just didn't know if he was going to use them to get rid of these treasonous people over there in Congress.
No, Brian, no.
All righty.
Thank you. How many times do I have to say it? Jesse, California, line one. What's your question? We've got a minute and a half.
Hey, Sebastian.
Yes.
I'm trying to fight for, you know, what's right and good, but I'm getting scared with how dictatorial the Democrats are getting. So we got an email from our PTA, from our high school, calling for everybody to come hear a lecture on anti-racism.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was thinking of hijacking the E-list, you know, and writing back to all and saying, hey, you guys, anti-racism isn't what you think it is. It's actually racist, and quoting Ibram Kendi, but I'm terrified that I'm going to commit social suicide. So
is America important enough?
Yes.
Are your children important enough?
Yes.
Well, I think you answered your own question. God bless you, Jesse. Stay on the line. Let's give her some extra ammunition by giving her a signed copy of The War for America's Soul. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First.